Amen.
Please be seated. Kind of fortunate this morning in our readings in that we have a theme. And that theme is reconciliation. The concept is talked about in our second lesson, the letter to the second Corinthians, or the second letter to the Corinthians. And so St. Paul talks about reconciliation there. And in the Gospel, Jesus gives us this beautiful example of the story of the prodigal son, and how the prodigal son, after demanding his father's money, after wasting it, is reconciled, how he meets his father's love, how he's been forgiven for everything he has done wrong, and how it's really only part of the last, after all of this, to accept that reconciliation. Reconciliation is so important to the extent that in the prayer book and the catechism, it gives us not a definition, but it tells us what the mission of the church is, which is to restore all persons to unity with God and one another in Christ, which is a very big mission. Of course, anything worthwhile is going to be very big. So reconciliation is so important because it is just all-encompassing. This is what the church is meant to do. This is why Jesus came, was to reconcile us to God. In reconciliation, relationships that have been broken are repaired, and relationships are restored to wholeness. Just really beautiful, beautiful thing. And it is all done out of God's love for us. This is why God forgives us our sins. It's for the sake of reconciliation. And again, all that is left for us is to say yes, and to accept that gift of reconciliation. In the epistle, St. Paul is talking about this notion, and he's writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ." And this statement is, there's a lot in there, like many of St. Paul's statements. It needs to be unpacked to some degree or another. One of the things that's implied in it is that there is some kind of break in the relationship. One of the things that's implied is the fact that there is a gap, a separation between God and us, where God created us good, he created all creation to be good. In human beings, he says that we are very good. And yet there is this separation. God meant for us to be filled with divine life, to be participating in the love that exists in the Trinity. And yet, for some reason that theologians have argued and pondered about for millennia, we have this separation. So what St. Paul is pointing out to us is that in Christ, that separation is bridged. In Christ, we are brought near to God by bringing God close to us. By becoming incarnate in Jesus Christ, God brought God in such a way that we could see him and touch him and learn from him, and to have that relationship restored. Jesus illustrates this notion of reconciliation through the story of the prodigal son. Because there was a certain degree of estrangement between the prodigal son and his father. The son looked at his father and he said, "Give me my money now, give me my share of the inheritance," a very bold claim. And then he went off to a distant country. Not in that distant country, he spent it all. He spent it all and he had nothing left. He was trying to keep pigs in order to make ends meet, and he wasn't even able to do that. And he recognized that this was the time that he said, "I'm going to go back home." And he said, "I've really messed up. I'm going to prepare this whole speech for his father." And the part that really almost brings tears to my eyes every time I hear it is where the father sees him a long way off. And the father just starts running towards him. He sees his son and he's overcome with joy. He loves his son so much, despite what his son did. He said, "This relationship needs to be restored. I am going to be reconciled with my son." So his father runs after him, throws his arms around him, gives him a kiss, and he says, "This is great. We're going to have a celebration." Put the robe on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. He's walking around barefoot. Put sandals on his feet. we are going to have a celebration. We're going to have a party because I have my son back. You can see in this notion how overjoyed the father was, which is exactly how Jesus feels when we are reconciled with God. Jesus would say things like, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one repentant sinner than 99 who had no need for repentance. This is out of love. I love these people so much that if one is estranged, I get him back. Boy, that feels good. Boy, that brings God joy. Out of that joy comes forgiveness. Because the things that caused that separation, the trespasses or the sins that we have committed, God sees this and says, I am not going to let that interfere with having this relationship restored. St. Paul wrote that we are reconciled to Christ, and God is not counting our trespasses against us. Or actually, literally, he wrote, not counting their trespasses against them. No, we're referring to just human beings in general. So a trespass is something done wrong. You know, if you've trespassed on somebody else's property, it's because, you know, they want it private and you're not supposed to be there, but then you go, you know, walk on that, that's, you know, we call that trespassing. And it gets even worse if you're where you're not supposed to be and you break something, or you do something that causes the other person harm. A lot of times when something like that happens, it can be difficult to be in a relationship with such a person. But what happens here is St. Paul is saying that God does not count our trespasses against him. You know, sometimes an estrangement can exist for generations going back. Something we're seeing in the world today is, you know, one person stopped going to church, somebody else stops going, their children don't go, their grandchildren don't go, and so, but here they are. God is still ready to put all of that estrangement aside for a new relationship. I find it so beautifully illustrated in the story of the prodigal son. And the way it's written is really nice. It shows Jesus as this master storyteller. Because the son had worked up this big speech. And so he tells us what this speech is. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am not worthy to be called your son. Please treat me as one of your servants, and I'll work for you. And then, when he comes, and his father sees him and is overcome with joy, and his father throws his arms around his neck and kisses him, and he starts in on his speech, like, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and his father cuts him off. His father says to him, we're not going to listen to any more of this. He says, get the ring, get the robe, put the sandals on his feet. His father saw everything he had done, and he said, we're not going to worry about this anymore, because you're home. Because you have come back to me, I'm going to put all of that aside and move forward. It truly is a beautiful image of reconciliation. And Jesus tells us this story because that's the way God functions. All that's left on our part is to say yes, to accept that gift of reconciliation. That's why St. Paul is saying, we entreat you on behalf of God to be reconciled to Christ. So Christ offers reconciliation first because he actually came to us. And it's up to us to turn around and say yes. For the prodigal son, the father embraced the son and it was his job to hug him back. You ever notice what a great gift that is? You notice if you've ever been in a relationship that's been strained, you know, there's a tension between you and somebody else. Probably the first step towards reconciliation is usually the hardest, isn't it? The first person has to take that step and say, you know what, let's put this aside. Let's put this aside. You know, let's be friends. For the first person to say, I'm sorry. And the prodigal son, it was the father who made that first step back towards the son. You know, within the world was God in Christ taking that first step towards us, doing a really difficult thing of initiating the reconciliation. And so for the prodigal son, his job was to hug his father back. And that's all he had to do, hug him back, accept the reconciliation offered. Father then threw a celebration. All son had to do then is show up. Now here's the party, son. Come on. We're going to celebrate. God is all always, always offering us reconciliation. No matter how long we've been away, no matter what we have done, there's always the offer to come back. So people are always welcome in this place. People are always welcome in church. And just to dispel a nasty rumor, the place is never going to burn down. I've heard people say that. I've heard plenty of times people have said, if I come into church, the place is going to burn down. But you know what? I've never seen it happen. Because God doesn't work that way. God is just so happy and overjoyed to see us. So if I were to really sum up the gospel and say, what is the main point? It is reconciliation. It is to have our unity with God restored, and in that, be restored to unity with one another. Which is hard, and which is big. It's a big thing. It's a huge thing. But it is so worth it. It's so worth it to have strange relationships reunited. Which is what we see in the story of the prodigal son. They were estranged, they were reunited. The son was lost, now he was found. And this is what the message is in 2 Corinthians. God was saying, yes, you've been separate from God, but become one with God. God offers this because of his great love for us, his great love for human beings. And he forgives us for the sake of the relationship. So anything that is strained in that relationship is put aside because it's the relationship is what is important. And it's up to us, and what all God asks for us to do is to accept this great gift. This concept is really just that simple, yet it is just that profound and so far-reaching. Because God so loves his children that he wants to be reconciled. Amen.